are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Greetings. Welcome to the special episode of the Empowerment Hour. My name is Michelle Bolden, and I'm your guide as we journey through caregiving together. Today, we are spring cleaning. Spring cleaning for the Empowerment Hour is cleaning through our past episodes and sharing a summary with you of key actions and recommendations from our past guests. So we're going to start with season one. So let's jump right on in. Season one was actually our premiere season. Our premiere episode is what we're going to talk about first. This was a live episode. And so during this premiere episode, we were joined by Second Wind Dreams, PK Bevel, Enan Wright, who's the founder of Sovereign Hospice, and Kara Polino, who's with the Atlanta Regional Commission, also known as the Area Agency on Aging. So that was actually our first tip, is to contact your local Area Agency on Aging via eldercare.acl.gov or 1-800-677-1116. And that is to find out about state, county, or city resources that can help you on your caregiver journey. Another tip was asking for an annual wellness exam for your loved one. Now, this is different than just an annual physical. The annual wellness exam is 100% covered by Medicare, and it includes evaluating the level of functioning for your care one. So are they able to take care of themselves? Are they able to handle their activities of daily living, or what we often call ADLs? Are they a fall risk? And what is their cognitive level? Are they having some memory challenges? Maybe there's a potential to get some cognitive testing done because there may be some potential signs of memory challenges. Another tip was around communication. And so really talking to your loved one about their wishes. And what helps you to do that is to have those conversations about advanced directives, end of life choices. So do you want to be resuscitated or do you not want to be resuscitated? And when those decisions are made, especially when they are in their right state of mind, you really want to try to honor their wishes. One guest mentioned about simply just watching your loved one, identifying how they function, what they do, how they move around, to help you to see their perspective in life and how they are seeing things through their very own lens. Communication was around with other family members. So being able to talk to one another to make sure that you're on the same plan for your loved one. And again, honoring their wishes allows for you all to kind of come together because you're coming together to honor what they would want you to do for them. And so that includes siblings, family members, et cetera, to be able to come together and make a plan of care together. Hospice is not a bad word. We talked about hospice. Hospice can really bring a lot of great resources to the family into the home. A hospice assessment does not require a physician's order. So a hospice organization could come to your home to do an assessment to help to determine whether services will be appropriate for your loved one, explain to you what all the services that are included in hospice, but you don't have to have that to get an order, okay? So we're going to move over to episode two. And so episode two was entitled, A Nurse's Work is Never Done. Our guests during this show were Dr. Sarah Myers, and also we had Sandra Lee James. Both are nurses, and they shared their caregiver journey working during the day and coming home at night or the weekend and still being a nurse to their loved one as well. Some of the key recommendations from this episode included really preparing for your journey. We talked a little bit about that when we talked about honoring wishes in our first episode. Here they talk about doing a little more due diligence around researching Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the living will, the power of attorney, and utilizing AARP's resource to prepare for your journey. And you can find some of their caregiver resources at aarp.org. That's aarp.org. They have a guide that will actually show you how to walk through making that plan of care for your loved one or even for yourself to prepare for your own children or those who may support you as you age as well. And if you are a veteran, guests recommended that you check into the VA home-based primary care program. It's designed for those who are in the home to come into the home to receive the services you would normally have to leave to receive. And I just want to add to this VA discussion is kind of really researching what's available to veterans through a program called the Aid in Attendance Pension. It's a pension, and it's called Aid in Attendance, and it is for veterans and their spouses. And so I encourage you to look into that to see what dollars may be available to help you on your caregiver journey. The other aspect, another big conversation we had during this episode, was really about bringing in the help. Even as the nurses, they understood that we can't do this alone. And so they use healthcare aides, they use family members, friends, whomever offered to help, they actually receive that help and put people to work. And so another way that you can get help, I'm going to add in here that you can apply for the Call for Caring Care Scholarship, in which we help to cover for respite care. And you can apply at callforcaring.org and go to our grant tab and complete the application there. And it does, again, pay for respite care. So let's move on to episode three. Episode three was a part one of two. I'll always love my mama. About that time was Mother's Day. So we had conversations regarding those caring for their mothers. And so episode three, we had a great conversation with our guest, Monica Brown. And so she shared her journey with caring for her mother who has dementia. One of her primary recommendation was that she called her mom, not by the title, but by her actual name. And so that was important because as dementia begins to progress, identifying someone by their title, mother, father, aunt, may become confusing as the dementia advances and they can't remember the relationship. And so she found that calling her mother by her name helped to decrease that anxiety if she couldn't remember that she was her daughter or couldn't remember her grandchildren. And so that was a great recommendation that she had to actually call them by their name because generally they will remember what their name is. Another tip from her was caregivers should have accountability partners. And so instead of just leaving the self-care responsibilities to yourself, also find yourself an accountability partner who will call and their first question is, how are you doing today, right? They want to hold you accountable for just caring for yourself. So we're going to move on to episode four, which is the part two of I'll Always Love My Mama. And our guest on this episode was Karen Reynolds, who shared her journey of caregiving and her transformation of caring for herself, mind, body, and spirit. This change resulted in her having weight loss and just overall improved health. Some of the key points that she shared was one is to take control of what you can take control of, which is you, right? You can take control of how you can eat or exercise. You may not be able to take control of how your loved one disease progresses or if they will remember today or not, but you certainly can take care of those things for yourself. And so things like exercising, take every opportunity to exercise for her. Her and her mom would exercise together while watching TV. So doing leg exercises or floor exercises while they simply watch TV was a good start. And then you want to focus, she says, on the inside out. So change your day-to-day habits slowly so they become truly just part of your routine. So meal planning, preparing and freezing meals was very helpful for her. The other thing that she talked about was just getting the help again. Family, help, home health aides, if that's something you're able to do, but reaching out for people to come in and assist you to care for your loved ones so you can continue to take care of yourself. She also recommended a book about changing your day-to-day habits. The book is called Atomic Habits to Build Change by Amos Clare. So she recommends that as a great start to kind of begin those that change into new habits. Now we're going to move on to episode 5. That is our special guest is Alonzo Wilson. And Alonzo Wilson kind of blessed us to share his journey from the perspective of a male caregiver about caring for both of his parents at one point in time in his life. Some of the key points that he mentioned during this episode is remember, it is their journey. So we want to always agree or try to understand what their path is, and it is our responsibility to honor the wish their wishes the very best that we can. So again, honoring their wishes was another theme during this episode as well. He also shared when you have a large family or any number of family members who are involved in that care, it is important to keep in mind that everyone is not always equipped to be a caregiver. And so we have to really kind of meet them where they are. So everyone is not able to give direct care to bathe and feed and et cetera, but they may be able to help with paying the bills or going grocery shopping. And so again, meeting people where they are. And we want for them to allow for them to care for the loved one the way that they can. So they may not do the things the way that you do them, make the bed a specific way, cook a meal a certain way. But we want to allow for them to care for that loved one the best way they can because they want to have that experience of comfort and support for that loved one as well. And to the man, he recommends to, if given the opportunity to care for a loved one, take it. You know, the journey really did provide for him fulfillment and just a learning experience like no other. And so he recommends that male caregivers, you know, take that journey when you have the opportunity. He also recommended journaling during your journey. It helps to capture what's going on in your life with your loved one. But also, he recommended to record the conversations if at all possible. That way, you can go back and listen to their voice and hear their inflections and really get their perspective when you're reflecting on your journey with your loved one. And then he also had a recommendation for a book. It's called The Moment in Life, A Caregiver Story by Rhonda A. White. He said this book was really a pat on the back and very motivational right at the time that he needed it. So next we are going to move on to episode 6. This episode is entitled Up Close with the Holmes Family, A Family Story of Caregiving. And so we spoke with a family of caregivers, the Holmes family, and they shared their faith-filled journey of caring for Mr. Holmes. And so the father, husband, grandfather of their family, and their journey of having to advocate for him as he recovered. Some of the key points included from this episode included, allow your faith to support you or even drive your journey. This family utilized what they called a prayer strategy for healing and recovering process and the recovery process for their loved ones. They also recommended always asking questions. Ask the question, the worst they can say is no. For example, they asked the questions about a diet and continued to ask questions about the diet to make sure the diet was appropriate for their loved ones, to the point of talking with the actual facility chef. And when they asked the questions, the chef realized that there were additional adjustments that needed to be made. He made those adjustments and their loved one benefited from it. So ask the questions, all they can say is no, right? Another great tip was utilizing a team when you're looking at facilities. So, for example, if you are in an acute care facility or a hospital, and your loved one is being transferred to a rehab center or a skilled nursing facility, what they did was kind of divide and conquer. And so they gave each person a facility to review. They gave them a list of items of what they needed to review for that facility. And then they would report back to the person in charge, which was the mom in this case, to help them make a decision if this is the right place for their loved one to transfer to. And when they were checking for facilities, they did do some more research. And I will say that CMS.gov is a great place where you can go and identify the reviews on facilities such as a nursing home or a skilled nursing facility, a rehab facility. Those places will have reviews from CMS.gov. Then one of the Holmes family members, Terry Holmes, really reached out and had a message specifically to the men. And what he said is that you really cannot operate on high levels of stress for a long time without releasing that physically and mentally, meaning that that's going to show up some way physically, heart attack, stroke, mentally, depression, stress, anxiety. And so we really have to make sure as men that as you're going, you still have to get yourself checked. And when I'm going to add to this, when you see those signs and symptoms that something is wrong, get it checked out. You're feeling dizzy. Your heart feels like it's racing fast. You're short of breath. You have this headache. You have a chest pain that comes and goes. Those are signs of your body telling you that you need to be checked and something may need to be repaired. And so listen to your body. Now, Katrina Holmes shared some recommended areas to assess when you're caring for your loved ones. And so these included communication, socialization, nutrition, and spirituality. So you can listen to the full episode to kind of get details of those other areas and the details that she mentioned that you really assess for your loved one in order to have a successful journey. They also recommended that you can visit them at holmesfamily.us to learn about their books and classes for family caregivers. Next, we'll move on to episode 7. In episode 7, entitled The Doctor's In, we did talk to two doctors. One was a gerontologist, Dr. Sejor Donatine, when we call her Dr. S, and also a pharmacist, Dr. Glover. So we had some great conversations with the two of them. And Dr. S started out by sharing when you select a primary care physician, often called a PCP, you do want to consider, are they accessible? Meaning, can you get an appointment? When you call in, will you have to wait 4, 6, 9, 12 months in order to see that person? How long are the appointment times? Some people, 15 minutes is just not enough. So sometimes, particularly with our seniors, they may need 30 minutes to really kind of explain what's going on. And so you want to be able to ask those questions. In addition, you also want to ask, are there support services that are available through that primary care physician's office? Do they offer coaching by nurses or a social worker? Do they have a social worker there who's able to help with some discharge or financial challenges that you may have, Medicare, Medicaid questions? And so you want to ask, what is available other than just seeing my primary care physician? And when you're coming to the doctor's office, she suggests that you prepare by one, bringing your medication bottles, not just the list, but all the bottles, put them in the bag, bring them in so they can read the labels and they can get a full understanding of who's prescribing and then what exactly they are prescribing as well. If you have the summaries, that's fine that you can bring them, but they definitely want you to actually bring the medication bottles. And actually, the pharmacist started out with the same request as well. The other thing that you can bring to an appointment is your summaries from your other providers. So if you're seeing specialists, a doctor for your heart, or you're seeing someone for your kidneys, you're on dialysis. Those summaries from other providers are helpful for the primary care physician to kind of see what's going on as a whole for you, as a whole for you as a patient. And so bringing in those summaries, you can just print a copy of bringing in, or you can ask the office to have someone to send it in. The other thing she recommends, if you're journaling their day-to-day activities, their bowel and bladder functions, if you're taking vital signs, all those things are important and you can bring it to the appointment. And that way they can look and kind of see what their trends have been with a glucose or blood pressure. And it helps them to make decisions about just maybe changing their habits or changing medication. The other thing that she mentioned was, again, taking care of yourself. So actions to immediately do would be to create a care plan for your loved one and kind of get an idea of what that plan looks like for your loved one. And again, as I mentioned, AARP.org has a great way to kind of starting that plan for your loved one. And I think also for yourself as well is helpful. And you want to make sure that that plan overall includes a list of all those healthcare team members. That means the name and phone numbers, the primary care doctor, the specialist. So you have that information in one place. So then Dr. Glover was on for our second half of the show, and she talked about using one pharmacy to fill your medication, kind of having a pharmacy home, which means that you have a pharmacy advocate. So if you're going from place to place to place, then the other person doesn't know that you're getting this drug or another drug. Sometimes they interact and they can't be an advocate for you if they can't see the full picture. So really talked about kind of using one pharmacy. One of the main reasons that people jump around is for price. And Dr. Glover mentioned that often the prices aren't very that different, are not that different between one another. Insurance companies are kind of being able to offer that so that the prices aren't varying as much. So then we move on to episode 8. So episode 8 was actually our final episode of season 1. And so we talked with one of our occupational therapists, Phaedra, joined us. The episode was entitled "There's No Place Like Home." So we began our discussions kind of talking about falls, which are high risk for folks who are homebound, have disabilities, or are aging. Some of the common places that she mentioned about falls were in the bathroom. It's a small space. Often the bathroom doors open inward. So if someone falls, they fall back against the wall and they're stuck between the door and the wall. And if you live alone, you don't have a phone with you, you don't have that emergency push button around your neck, you can be there for days. And so some of the things we talked about was maybe to always keep a phone with you when you're going into the bathroom. Just don't close the door. You live alone, just keep the door open so you don't have to worry about that potential risk. And then also you can change your door to a pocket door that slides in instead of opens and closes. Another area for potential falls was near the bed or chair. And so this kind of happens when you're changing positions. Often when you're taking multiple medications, sometimes it could lead to dizziness when you change positions. So that means if I'm going from lying to sitting, I could get that dizziness with that change in position. From sitting to standing, you could experience dizziness as well. So what you do want to do is make sure as you're changing that position, you want to move slowly. Recommend at least 10 seconds counting when you change position. So it gives your blood and everything a chance to kind of adjust as you're adjusting positions. The other thing is that broken equipment is another risk for falls. So often a wheelchair or a cane or a walker is broken, but we're still using it, puts us at a high risk for fall. Or if the equipment is no longer appropriate. So maybe you have been using a cane, but your gait is just, your walking is still really off. And so you really should be using a walker. And so making sure that you have the appropriate equipment can also reduce falls. Another area for potential falls is, of course, with rugs and having those little rugs that are on the floor or those rugs that are sometimes inside of a tub, that your plastic rugs that you kind of pull up have suction cups on them. Those often don't stick very well. And that's just a risk for falling as well. One of the things that she mentioned that could potentially help us with falls is actually using the step stools or not using the step stools can reduce falls. So when you're in the kitchen, if you can remove the higher items down to a lower shelf or on the counter, so all you have to do is reach back and grab it, that you don't have to reach up and use a stool, that can reduce your risk of falls as well. Using grab bars, not only in the bathroom, but along the walls, in the hall if you need to. When you're coming into the door and you're trying to get up a step and you need to grab something, you can put a grab bar outside. Using a little tap lights along the wall. So when you're getting up at night, when you're going to the bathroom, you can't really see what's going on. It's dark and you trip. That's another area for high fall. So you can use those lights in order to be able to see your way as you're maneuvering to the bathroom at night. So when you do fall and you have a loved one who's there and someone falls or your loved one falls, you really want to avoid trying to pick them up yourself. Now, if they're able to get themselves up with a little assistance, you've assessed that they haven't broke a bone or hit a head or there's no blood and they want to get up and they can do that, you certainly can continue to watch them. But more than often, if you have to use your own body weight, the best thing really is to call 911. The EMS will come and happily help you get that person off the floor. It does not mean that they have to go to the emergency room. It just means that you needed some assistance to prevent you from hurting yourself, your back, or ending up on the floor with them as well. So the best option is to call 911 if they're just not able to do it for themselves. And with those falls, you do want to share that with your physician. They want to be able to identify if you're falling a lot because, one, they may need to look at medications, or maybe your loved one may need some physical therapy or occupational therapy to help them with strengthening or flexibility, and so that they're a little more stable on their feet, or it could be time to use some devices for them as well. As we talked about flexibility, she mentioned that there are some exercises that are really good for flexibility, posture, and strength. It's actually Tai Chi. It's a great form of exercise that's good for improving your flexibility and strength, as well as posture. And so, certainly, before you start any new exercise program, you always want to clear that with your physician. But that was an option maybe to consider. Again, talking about exercise, Medicare will actually cover a OT specialist or physical therapist to monitor your exercise. So that it could include them virtually identifying what's going on by looking at the weight checks that you're doing or your blood pressure and your heart rate, those vital signs, and then adjusting as needed your exercise program for you. So Medicare will cover that. There are some HUD programs, actually a HUD home modification program, in which they have a team of a registered nurse, occupational therapist, and a handy person who's able to make those changes to help with repairs in your home. She mentioned that Habitat for Humanity also has programs that can help for repairs in your home. And then from all of our episodes, we kind of got a lot of the same feedback. And so I just want to summarize that towards the end now that we're kind of wrapping up this first season. So from all the episodes, we consistently heard family caregivers have to take care of themselves. They cannot give from an empty cup, as we often hear. It's great to create your own self-care plan, meaning that you set appointments for caring for yourself. Time to rest, hobbies, socializing, massage, hair, yoga, meditation, that you actually have to be able to schedule that time in order to make it part of your routine. I know it seems like there's never enough time, but if we don't add that time now, we pay for it later. Paying for it later means that you're physically, mentally drained. And so we don't want you to get to that point, where you're potentially at a worse health risk than your loved one is. And then also adding again an accountability partner. So make sure there's someone who's checking on you to make sure that you're keeping those appointments, that you're taking that time for some mindfulness, meditation, yoga, to be still so that you can get rest and rejuvenate yourself. And speaking of rest, the rest is really important because when you get rest and you're eating and you're taking care of yourself, things tend to look better, as Dr. S says during one of her episodes. Things will look better even though nothing has changed about your caregiving experience. And so I hope that this spring cleaning episode was helpful to you. And I encourage you to go back and to look at all of those episodes that I just shared from episode one, even from our previous Call for Caring on Purpose channel, and then episode season two as well. Sometimes where you are in your journey, the episodes kind of speak to you more. And please share these with loved ones that you know, or family, friends, etc., who are going through this journey, who you think this may be helpful for them. Again, I hope this was helpful. I look forward to summing up season two for you again real soon. And so the Empowerment Hour is brought or presented to you by Call for Caring. Our organization supports caregivers through resources like today's podcast. We do episodes, courses, grants, and we are so excited to announce the Family Caregiver Expo. It's coming to Chicago on June the 8th. You can find information about the Chicago Family Caregiver Expo, our other upcoming events, training classes, our care grants, and other programs at callforcaring.org. Today's episode can be heard on uptomeradio.com or your favorite podcast platform. You can also view our earlier episodes and the expo events on our Call for Caring YouTube channel. So we hope that today's episode of the Empowerment Hour has met our goal to educate, elevate, and empower caregivers during their caregiver journey. Thank you.